When I was still on active duty, I was a command financial specialist. So I understand how to invest money, how to budget, and how to set things aside. And I have a good knowledge of what to do with the money that you come in. But when it comes to lending and loans and stuff like that, I am honestly completely clueless. And that's one of the reasons why I sat down with Jeff on this podcast, because this is what he does on a daily basis. And also I trust him. So I didn't want to get anybody's, you know, freaking butt filled with smoke blown from somebody. I wanted somebody I could trust to fill me in on the blanks. And I've seen a lot of people getting taken advantage of with predators when it comes to like payday loans and stuff like that. And from my understanding, it's just as bad in the housing market. So anyways, I hope you enjoy this, because this has answered a lot of my questions. And also I had some people email their questions in. And if you have any more questions, please feel free to email me and send them in. I will forward them up to Jeff, and we'll do this at a later date, because I'm sure other people have more questions as well. And I'm keeping the podcast free. But if you want to donate, which is cool, if you don't, fine. But if you do, I really appreciate it. Venmo me at Josh96O'Brien. That's O-B-R-I-E-N. Or you can PayPal me at ob9616@gmail.com. That's my PayPal. And if you don't want to, that's totally fine. I'm totally cool. But just please like and subscribe and pass this information on to somebody else, because honestly, I would rather have you pass this on than actually pay me. Okay, so that's a lie. I'd rather both. But anyways, enjoy the podcast. Go ahead, grab a microphone that way.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so like the mics, this is just strictly for the audio part, you know, yeah. And then that's video. So it's two totally different worlds we got going on. You got to love technology these days. Am I right? All right, cool. Levels look good. And I guess we'll start. Say something, anything.
Hello. All right. Thank you for having me. This is really cool.
Cool, man. Yeah. All right. All unprofessional.
Yeah.
You were never in five, right?
Nope.
Okay, cool. I was. Five's professionals. Yeah. We can get away with not being professional. Non-CBs have no clue what we're talking about. That's totally fine. All right. So, friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, I am here with
Jeff Winbach.
You're a Navy veteran, Navy CB. How many years you did?
I did 20 years on the dot. 20 years, 1 month.
Yeah. Same. And then now you're...
So right now I'm a mortgage loan originator, LO, loan officer. So I do loans, basically help you with your mortgage.
Okay. Now that's cool, because I am totally clueless. And honestly, right now I'm not looking at a home, but I've always had people have all these misconceptions about loans and what they're entitled to and all that other stuff as a veteran. I mean, I definitely want to get into your military career. We'll do that like later, but like right now I want to get into the weedies on, you know, what exactly as a veteran, what's a VA loan anyway?
So VA loan, the misconception of the VA loan is the VA is backing.
Right.
Right. And the VA really has nothing to do with it. Right. It's still a regular loan. Right. So the VA basically is guaranteeing 25% of the loan.
Oh, okay.
So that's all they're doing, right? So they don't have, the VA doesn't really control the loan aspect of it. It's just your entitlement, if that makes sense. So with your entitlement, right, it's called COE, Certificate of Eligibility.
Right.
So if you are a veteran, the number one thing you got to do is talk to a loan professional and have them pull your COE. So it's called the Certificate of Eligibility. That will tell you what you're entitled to with your loan, so how much entitlement you have. It's very, like, this where the VA comes in is very monkey math. So it'd be like $36,000 entitlement and or full entitlement. That just says you have full entitlement. So we do the math breakdown. If you use the loan before, this is your second, third, fifth time using it, that's where your loan officer comes in to kind of break it down what you're entitled to. But that's the number one thing you should do if you are a veteran, to make sure you have your entitlement correctly and it's there.
So when it comes to entitlement, like, that's like, how much do you think that is on average, or is it based by case by your credit score? Or?
No, so it's all your entitlement as a veteran. It's a different breakdown of what you did. So National Guard reservists have to hit so many points to get full entitlement.
Okay.
So as a veteran, I forgot what it is. It's only like 6 months or a year. Don't quote me on that. Let me look that up.
Right.
To get your, if you're active duty more than 2 years, you're going to have full entitlement. Okay. So it's just with the reservists a lot on their points in National Guard, how you break down the points of how many times they deployed, how many weekends, how many basically points they have to.
How many manuals they did too, because those are points too.
Yeah. So to break that, that's probably the most trickiest part. And then if you've use the VA loan before, or if you have one currently, to find out how much entitlement you have left. So what kills us in California, a lot of questions is, can I use two VA loans at the same time? The answer is yes, but in California, we have so much, our houses are so expensive here.
Oh yeah, right? It's so nuts.
It's going to basically max out your entitlement. So you're only going to have, like you buy a $700,000 house here, you're going to have minimum, you can probably qualify for 100 grand, 200 grand of entitlement left. So with that. So if
being retired and, did 20 years, like what's the average for like the entitlement?
So you're going to get 100% entitlement. Okay. And then there's no cap for loan wise.
Okay, cool. I guess that would have been my question. So, it would have been like,
how much money you can afford. Yeah. It's basically what you qualify for the loan. So if you can qualify, there's no cap for the amount of money you qualify for. No VA cap. So I've done, just got done today. Today they're handing the keys over a $1.3 million house that a veteran bought.
Oh, cool.
So CC officer, right? Got out with him and his wife were CC officers. Got out and became engineers at Avient. What is it? Agent or Avient or something?
Avient, they make water.
Yeah.
Avient. Avient. They're water technology. Yeah. They're water techs.
But, both get out doing very well as engineers and, can qualify for a $1.3 million loan.
So that's awesome, man.
And it cost them $17,000 to close his loan.
Jeez. Okay, so like when it comes to, you got to pay out of pocket then so much too, or?
So with the VA loan, that's what's beautiful about it is there's no, when you say VA loan, no money down, so it's your down payment. So your down payment, I tell people, is what you did for this country, right?
Oh, nice.
That's your down payment. Like that, your COE is your down payment.
Okay, cool, right?
So it's just basically, and that's what I tell real estate agents and veterans, like you have a down payment, it's called your COE.
Your COA. Basically, you served.
You served. That's your down payment. So
that's
most,
awesome.
Most loans, right, is about 5% minimum, 3.5% you can get away with. But most of the time nowadays, it's 10% down, 20% down to get in a home. So as a veteran, your COE gets you that. So it's basically what you're qualified for the loan. So if you, retire Navy, you get a job on base as a GS, whatever, right? Your wife works, you can qualify for quite a bit. It's just basically the ability to repay the loan. Can you repay the loan back? You can get it at home.
So what are some of the myths that you, I'm sure you get blasted with this stuff before. And also, we'll get to it later, but I posted something on Facebook the other day, and then everybody had all these millions of questions. Yeah. And then you and I were talking about that a couple minutes before we started recording, was that like there are some good answers here and there are some that are just completely way off because it's changed a lot since the 80s or whenever Uncle Joe Bob's niece got a house. So what are some myths or some misconceptions for the VA loan?
So I think the number one myth is that it's maxed out for the loan amount.
That's going to pick up on the mic when you do that.
It's maxed out on the loan amount. So it used to be off the county loan limit for the county. It used to be 645, and that used to be the VA loan limit the county loan limit, and every county is different in the whole country.
Really? I didn't even know that.
Ventura County, LA County, they're all a little different with the county loan limits.
Right.
So it used to be a cap, but now there's no cap for the VA loan. So it's basically ability to repay. That's the number one conception. A lot of real estate agents have been in the business, 10, 30 years, that tell me they've been doing real estate their whole life. Those are the agents that normally get it wrong because they're going off old guidelines.
Gotcha.
So this went 2 years ago. There's no limit as well. So.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that's like, a good example would be like, we've been out, how long you been out?
Under a year. Since October. Yeah.
I've been retired for 6 years now and it doesn't seem like it goes by like that.
Yeah.
But that's like an entire enlistment for some people, you know what I mean? Or maybe even two if they re-enlisted. The funny thing is like with the way rules change on active duty, I'm sure it kind of changes like that with the VA and then also with like the loans and all that other stuff, you know? So what's one of the biggest changes? I mean, the cap, that's an awesome one that I didn't even know that there was at one point that. What's another change that's probably happened?
Termite report. So termite damage.
Okay.
The veteran can pay termite repairs. That's in California we have a huge termite issue.
Okay.
Especially by the beach, a lot of real estate agents get nervous about termite because there will be termite damage and going back and forth. It's such a seller market right now that the seller doesn't want to pay for any damages to fix her house. It's kind of like as is.
Yeah.
But the termite, the veteran can help pay for termite. There's a little strategy involved with the amount the loan is and how much they can pay, right? They just can't pay, you know, $30,000 or whatever it is. So it's 1% of the origination amount. So if the loan is $800K, including the origination, the veteran can't pay more than 1% of the
origination. So no more than $800.
So $8,000.
Oh, okay.
It'd be $8,000.
Oh, $8,000.
So that's including...
Bad math.
Yeah. So including any other origination, not including points, though.
Yeah.
So if any tacked on any other fees or services, it kind of dwindles down. But that's when you have to talk to a loan official and say, how much can I put down and close this loan?
So is there anything like that for, like, black mold or anything like that? And, like...
So with mold, it's just get it tested and find out how bad it is.
Okay.
Right? You know, bleach, I wouldn't say, you know, bleach and water fixes everything. But
it does that resto.
Yeah, so.
CB joke, guys.
Yeah. But, you know, another thing with the VA loan, it has to be a habitable home, right? So it has to be health and safety. They check, you know, smoke alarms and carbon monoxide to make sure water heater's strapped. The roof has to be in somewhat condition, working furnace. You know, it has to be a habitable home. So that's off the, you can't really, you can buy a fixer upper. Everybody's definition of a fixer upper is different.
Yeah.
Right. So it just has to be a habitable home. So it depends how bad the home is to get into.
We had squatters, man. It was habitable for them.
So, well, yeah, no, I love it though. Love educating, veterans. So.
Yeah. How did you get into doing this?
I really, like, when I say I fell into it, I really fell into it. So when I got out being a builder, right, everything was home inspections with me. So started a home inspection company, started my home inspection thing, and I wanted to do the skill bridge program and get out early and
okay.
try to do a skill bridge. I had my whole skill bridge set up with the home inspection company I was interning with. He ended up selling his company at, like, the, you know, ninth hour of me submitting my package.
So you didn't skill bridge?
So I didn't skill bridge with them. I literally had to go in the CEO's office, take it off his desk. He was like ready to sign it.
Oh, shit. Then, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah. And I didn't know. I was kind of like scrambling. I was like, well, the worst thing that's going to happen, I'm just going to play Navy for 4 more months till.
Right, right.
Anyway. And then literally like the next day or 2 days later, my loan officer that did my loan 2 years ago, I saw him at the gym and he was talking about putting a little squad together and kind of breaking off and interested. And he was like, hey, you ever think about doing loans? And I literally was like, no, but you want to sign this form? And he was like, yeah, sure. And I literally like told him what the skill bridge program was and was like, hey, this is what I have to offer. And basically what skill bridge program, if anybody doesn't know what it hit me up and I break that down more, but you know, basically intern with them for free while the Navy's paying you. So I got full paychecks from Navy. Got my internship with CMS, Capital Mortgage Services, in Ventura, hung out with them, got my license, and then the rest is history. So I started doing both right now. So I started my home inspection company and then have my MLO license.
So like if somebody in like the 805 area wants a home, are you doing anything in like Southern California?
So
or just
within, you know, 45 to an hour from Ventura, Oxnard. So gotcha. Santa Barbara, Santa Clarita, kind of the 405 area. Go to the valley, go to, you know, see me.
Yeah.
Moore Park area.
Basically, no yeah. further past the Capitol yeah. Records building.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So it's got to be really. I've done some bigger ones in Santa Monica, you know, that yeah. are like 8,000 square feet. And that's, you know, like I can make a day out of it and it's worth it. But
what are like some of the things that you, that are messed up in a lot of these houses?
A lot of it is
things people overlook.
Yeah. So just like doors and windows, like you'd be surprised how many doors don't shut properly and windows could lead to a bigger, you know, foundation issue.
Yeah.
Doors and windows, just the outlets not working. A lot of it is wear and tear of the house, right? So you're buying a 1976 house in Ventura. And I, you know, people don't understand that houses are like cars, right?
Yeah. So, oh yeah, definitely.
You know, I had a furnace only lasts 30 years, right? We live in beautiful SoCal. We don't use it four times a year. You know what I mean? We're not in Ohio burning this thing, you know,
right.
99% of the day. So, you know, they're going to last a little longer, but they do burn out. Right? And people need to understand when they're buying a 1976 house that's flipped, right? And it looks beautiful with new floors and paint. And then I go check the furnace and it's the original house and it's 52 years old.
Right.
So, and people don't know that. Like, and I just kind of educate them on like, hey, your furnace is past life expectancy. It's working fine. But it is going to be an issue here shortly when you do replace one, probably about 10 grand, 12 grand.
I'm guessing like water heaters and stuff like that.
Water heaters, same way. So if they're hooked up properly, a lot of, if they're not hooked up properly and it blows, you know, where's it at? If it's in a closet in the middle of your hallway and it blows, that's going to be a bad day for you.
Oh yeah. Like, your house is going to be floating. It's going to be like a cartoon.
So make sure that's hooked up properly. And same thing with, you know, Ventura, Oxnard, huge, hard water issue, a lot of sediment in the water. So that hard water buildup, kills water heaters here. So you're only going to get about 8 to 12 years on a water heater. So just kind of let my client know like, hey, it's working. It's 12 years old. It's heating up. You have hot water. It's in the garage, but it's not hooked up right. And just kind of let you know what, give them recommendations of what to do. So.
Yeah. Then like, what's your number? Tell everybody your number real quick.
Yeah.
It's like, I put you on the spot, man. What's your own phone number?
805-512-0897. We'll throw it in the comments too. So
yeah, definitely, man. We'll put that out on the thing, and then when I put this on iTunes and all that other stuff, I'll make sure I have that in there. I like. All right, going back to the loan stuff. Like, what's the most difficult thing? Say like me and my wife and kiddos, which I have none. But say like if me and the wife and the kiddos were going to buy a house, what's the most difficult thing that a veteran has to face usually in that situation?
I think just getting. So I'm going to kind of go over the whole
process. Please do, right? Because I'm clueless. Yeah. I know I kind of ramble and I go back and forth, but this is something I definitely wanted to cover. Yeah. So yeah.
Man. So the process. So if you talk to somebody like me or another MLO, the difference between pre-approval and pre-qualification. So pre-approval, you submit an application, takes about 10 minutes, basically, you know, kill data, basically, you know, who, what, when, why, what are you doing, right? Submit your application. And then that's going to create a portal for you. And I call them, they're called 222s. So 2 years of tax returns, 2 years of W-2s, 2 months of pay stubs, two months of bank statements, any retirement income you have, right? Put all that in the portal. And it's I call it painting the picture for the underwriter.
Gotcha.
So basically, we're asking somebody for $1 million. So why should we give you $1 million? So it's like, okay.
Right.
Like, and tell you the truth, that, you know, like I got to break it down. It's like, hey, you can't pay your Best Buy card on time. Like, why would somebody give you $1 million? So that's why you kind of got to break it down slowly for people. And so with all that information, it's basically proving to them that you have the ability to repay this loan, right? So your W-2s, LESs, any disability. You know, kind of put that all in and say, hey, you make $10,000, so you can afford, you know, X amount. You can afford a $4,000 mortgage.
Gotcha.
So I give you doing that. I run your credit and say, hey, this is where you can afford, you know, here's $1 million pre-approval. So when I give a pre-approval.
Real quick.
Yeah.
No, it's, you know, because then you said the credit. So and then credit check. Could you on that credit check, could you tell me like the different levels? Like if I had like a 740 or 640, mm-hmm. what's the difference?
So it pricing. So you're going to get a loan with the VA. There's no VA guidelines for credit. So okay. there's no like you have to have above a 500, right? You have to have above a 600. The VA doesn't have guidelines for that. So there's lenders that have overlays guidelines. So most of it is 620 is a magic number. Anything over 620, you're going to get a loan.
Okay.
Right. So we can go down to 580, 560, right? But it depends how
That's like high risk then.
A little more high risk. See if you can do a loan. It may be a manual underwriting. So they're going to ask for a little more information. So you may not be as a slam dunk as somebody with a 740 credit score that has a W-2 employee.
Gotcha.
So if that makes sense. But there's no, what's great about the VA, there's no credit guidelines.
Okay.
So, and same with your debt to income ratio as well. So debt to income is money owed, car payments, credit cards, right? Things of that. So 50% is the magic number for conventional. Any other conventional loan, it's 50% is a cutoff. It's 49.99. If you go over that, you have to pay something off or come out of pocket to get that DTI down.
Okay.
So there's no DTI limit for...
What does DTI mean?
Debt to income ratio.
Okay. Yep. Back to the whole thing, because yep. I know yep. you said it like yep. three times, just in case. Yeah. So debt... To, yeah.
No guidelines for that. So magic, they kind of stick to, 50 to 60%, but... my dad just got a home loan for 75% debt to income ratio. So he had two, he bought a new house in Washington State with his VA loan.
Nice.
Had his house. So he basically still had his house that he's not selling yet, but that was a huge debt. That's the only debt he had. But the underwriter and the guidelines is like, okay, this makes sense. He has a house, he's paying for it. He has another house, he's going to eventually sell this. Okay, we feel confident that we can give him another $800,000 and that we're not going to get burned. So a little explanation.
Okay.
There's no, if he was doing a conventional, wouldn't happen. No way. He would have to sell his house or put a contingent on that to do it.
Gotcha. Okay, so I'm sorry to do that sidetrack, but a lot of people don't understand the credit sure. thing. And honestly, I don't. I just go to my Navy Fed mm-hmm. and I look at once a month, and I'm yeah. like, oh, okay, cool. I'm at like 760. Yeah. I'm good. 762. This is a cool bullet. You know yeah. what I mean? Like that's all I know. But
so with the credit is when we do pull your credit, it is a mortgage pull, so it's a little different than like shopping for a car, or buying furniture,
right.
totally different, or buy opening up a credit card. So it's not gonna impact your credit like everybody thinks. Maybe bring your credit down 10 points, right? And that's if you don't get a mortgage. So once okay. you get a mortgage, it's going to level out. It may drop 40 points once you get the mortgage because you have more DTI, and then it'll come back up because they know you're a homeowner now and everything's, everything just gets better with homeownership. So
big Why? Fan of that.
I just, they feel you're responsible. So it's like, okay, this guy's got a job, right? He's got right. a job. Very little debt. He owns his house, right? He went through some kind of process. Somebody screened him. So
Because that's what they always say is, man, if you're paying your bills on time, yeah. like having a car. I remember when I was young going and then, having that advice. And then I forget what it was called, but it was a collateral duty that we had to do, the command financial specialist.
Yeah.
When I had to go through the CFS class. And then you find out how a lot of that stuff works. And you're like, oh, my goodness. The things you don't even realize, come back to bite you in the ass, not paying a bill.
Yeah.
Like if you're just like, oh, I'll just skip this one for a couple weeks and then, or a couple months or whatever, and then you come back to it. And then in the long run, that can really mess you up,
Late payments for credit score is the worst thing.
Okay.
Never. So you can max out credit cards and have a lot of debt, right? Just never be late. Never, that's my advice to anybody. Never be late. Pay the minimum, right? If that's whatever it is, pay
right.
the minimum. Don't be late. Don't skip payments. Even if you're robbing Peter or pay Paul, as long as you're making it on time, you're at least staying afloat. Once you start missing payments, so it's 30 days, 60 day, 90 day lates, really ping a credit score.
All
really
right.
ping you, and it really hurts you for mortgages.
Okay.
It will, it will disqualify you pretty quick for debt, for credit.
Does that affect your VA loan then? Because you said it doesn't pull your score. So
DTI, it on refinancing, yes.
Okay.
So you could have a pretty solid credit score, but it's just those missed payments. It may go to a manual underwriting. It's you're not dead in the water, but it just gets more difficult for you to do the loan.
Oh, okay.
So, but yes.
So, I'm sorry I pulled you off the track from the whole, like, the 222s to the credit score, and then you got to the credit score.
Yeah.
And I went down a whole rabbit hole. So, what else is it, man?
So, the pre-approval 222s, basically verifying everything you told me is correct, right? So, we have the saying, buyers are liars, right? Everything needs to be verified, right? So, it's, hey, I work here, I make this much. Okay, that's fine. So, we need to see it.
Yeah.
I break it down, and then I give you a pre-approval letter. And that pre-approval letter, right, $800,000, whatever it is, $1 million, go find a real estate agent, and then you start shopping. Once you start shopping, you find a house, get in a contract. We're going to discuss rate and term with you, right? So what rate and term is, hey, this is what I have. It's a 5% VA loan at 30 years. This is much closing cost as me. This is how much it's going to cost. Are you interested in buying points? We, talk an hour on buying points if it's worth it. I give a little spill on that. Talk about points and then rate and term, go into contract. Once you get on a contract and you go into the underwriting process, sometimes it gets difficult about how slam dunk of a loan it is. So if you're a W employee, if you're self-employed, disability, kind of all, they're going to start asking for other documentation. So
gotcha.
Like, hey, I own this business. It's like, okay, we may need the profit and loss statements for it, and tax returns from the business if you're going to claim that. Any child support, hey, we're going to need documentation for child support. So
LLC shit,
LESs, just kind of verifying through the line. Any old stuff you paid off, they may, want documentation that's paid off. So,
gotcha.
And then the underwriting process, that's kind of, where the underwriter comes in, and then they'll condition us on, like, hey,
what's an underwriter?
Underwriter, basically they go through the check marks of basically double checking on the loan that you can process the loan.
So basically it's like the guy before you go to MEPS, you make sure all the paperwork's good to go. And it's the same thing, but instead of putting you in the military, it's putting you in a house.
Putting you in a house, so, and they're going to do their checks and balances, right? So there's people that their sole job is to call employers, right? So they're going to call employers and verify, Jeff Windenbach works here, right? And what does he do? And it's like, oh, no, they don't want to hear, like, oh, he quit last week or hasn't worked here.
Right.
You know what I mean? Any of that, that's going to throw up a red flag.
He has an OnlyFans page now. Yeah. He's gone.
So doing whatever it is. So that's where it's kind of when they say about, the mortgage industry is going to collapse. It's difficult to get a loan. We can't hand them out. There's a lot of checks and balances. There's a lot of, there's a process. There's no, like in 2008, what they were doing, you had a business card and you can get a loan. Very.
Because I remember, like, that was like the bubble. That was the,
So, but yeah, that's where I kind of giggle a little bit when people say the real estate market's going to crash, because it's just, there's too much money in it. And there's too much equity, and then there's too many, the loans are too good, right? So, especially with investment properties, you're going to have to come in with 20, 25%. They're not doing investment properties.
Usually the people with the money aren't going to fail. So, and that's the thing. That's like the lenders, they're going to keep lending.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're going to keep, they make more money the more you can't pay. And unfortunately.
And I'll put a little plug in too about, everybody's been saying last couple years where the market's going and, is the market going to crash? Right. So I always say, like, what's the definition of a crash? Right.
Yeah.
Everybody's definition. So if there's a correction, right, and the market
mind
does
if
correct,
I have too much sugar,
yeah,
and then go ahead.
So the if the market crashed, say Ventura County, I know this area, you're gonna buy a house for $700,000, right? It's like, I'm gonna wait for it crashes. Well, you've been saying that for 5 years. You went through a whole battalion, right? When are you gonna do it? Okay, so now you didn't buy your house at $500,000, now it's at $700,000. It's like, I'm gonna wait for it to crash again. Okay. So say it does crash, right? What's your definition? Say it goes down 20%, 30%. So that $700,000 house is now, 580, 560. So now you feel good about it, right? And you're buying the house, right? But you're not getting a 2.75 interest rate, how you said before. If that does that, you're going to pay 7%, 6% interest rate,
right?
And guess what? Your payment's the same.
That was actually something somebody posted on the thing. I'm sure you said that. Don't buy a house now. Yeah. Don't buy a house now. Wait.
So I get Homer. It's scary. And not everybody, you know, especially, you know, deal with a lot of veterans. Everybody comes to, you know, Battalion, San Diego, Fallon, Nevada. Hey, I'm only going to be here for 3 years. You know, I don't think it's the right time. Totally get it. It may not be the right time for you. Hey,
and I remember buy a house, right? On Facebook one time you posted that, like, why don't you buy a house? Yeah. And I'm like, why would I? Because I'm always moving. I'm an entertainment. So I'm like, I love LA. I'm surprised I've been there for 6 years now, you know, and not move to like New York City or someplace else and then come back to LA, by, you know, back and forth already. But yeah, if you're going to stay in a place for a long time, you might as well invest, you know?
So that's my two.
And yourself.
You know, like, with me, my wife was born and raised here. I knew I was kind of stuck here. You know, I was going to retire here. So it's like, hey, we should just buy a house and settle down. And like, now's, you know, now's the goodest time as ever. So don't, you know.
Yeah, this place is awesome. The only time I ever hated it wasn't like hating the place. I hated the command I was at.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so much the command. It was just like, you know, we've always had bad leadership, no matter what. I mean, we luck out. We have great leadership sometimes. We have poor leadership sometimes. And I've had it both here and the 805. But sure. I always love this area, man. It's so cool.
But that's – and then the biggest thing, can you afford the payment? Like, truthfully, like, hey, like, you have a $3,500 mortgage now, right? Can you really afford that? Like, you're going to get the loan. Like, if you're VA, like, you're going to get it, you know, but in reality, you know, can you afford that, you know? I tell people, too, what's never going to change is a 30-year fixed mortgage.
Okay.
So, when you do buy the house and that payment's, you know, $3,000, $3,500, is that payment's never going to change, right? So,
you got a 30-year fixed mortgage. 30-year
fixed mortgage, fixed interest rate, whatever that is. That payment will stay the same for 30 years. You know what will continue to go up is rent. I promise you, right? In 5 years, right? You're paying, I only pay $2,000 for my house now. I promise you, you're going to pay $2,600, $3,000, whatever that is.
Dude, if it wasn't for the landlord I got, I mean, I've been in the same place, $2,000 a month for the last 5 years. But it's because I got a cool landlord and I do all my own maintenance.
Yeah.
And then I just tell him what it costs and he just is like, cuts it off my next check.
Sure.
Like, I fixed the toilet. How much did it cost you? Oh, $60. Mm-hmm. And he'll cut $60 off my next check. No big deal. You know, but for the most part, if you're in like a lot of these places around here, especially LA, where I'm at, dude, they're paying an extra like $100 or $200 a year.
Yeah.
You know, and
you sign your 1 year lease and you know, there's, you know, guidelines on rules about how much they can increase now and it's everything's only, different. You know, 5%, 10%. But what that does to landlords is basically it locks them in to increase your rent.
Right? Yeah.
So they can't, if they have an investment property, they can't afford to go 2 or 3 years and not increase it on you because they can only go 10%. So now it's like you're kind of forcing landlords' hands on that. So like, hey, you can only increase them. It's like, well, now I have to because I can't go 2 or 3 years, right? And then increase it 5%. Like I have to keep up with inflation.
So. Oh, speaking of inflation and stuff like that, state taxes. Like I know Michigan and like Texas and I think Florida, if you're 100% disabled veteran, some states, I think it just if you're a veteran, period. You don't have to pay the state taxes, but what's it like here in California for state tax?
So it's all you it basically goes down to how much money you make and how much they're going to skim off your property taxes.
Okay.
So you really have to take your taxes and bring it to the county assessor board and see how much you qualify for. So it's not like, you know, 10% or 100%. So if you're at 100% and you make $200,000 a year, you may not get free property taxes.
It doesn't
work like that. So very you know, very, you know, check your county, check your state, but, you know, that's kind of the best answer I have and you know, verify. Yeah.
Yeah. Some are like, got this, like, okay, it makes sense. It's black and white. Like if you're 100%, like some states I was looking at 100%, fine. You don't have to pay it. Other states are like 100%. Or if you are, you know, missing a limb because of this or, you know, or if you lost your left eye in Vietnam in 1969, on a Wednesday when it was 97 degrees Fahrenheit, then, you know, it's like this specific thing. All right, maybe not that specific.
No, and I do need to get smarter on that too because even myself, like, you know.
Well, there's so much to know.
Yeah, and know? Then just, you know, I'm at 100% and.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, just knowing, I know I got my tax assessor and, you know, they're going to pull your taxes and find out how much, you know, you really going to take off, but I think it's going to be very minimum for myself. So, but definitely do your research. And
you got to, because if you're not doing your research, you're just doing yourself an injustice. I'm going to pull up those questions that somebody asked the other day.
Sure. Let's do it.
And
there's another guy.
He looks familiar. Sounds familiar. Oh, Mark Pimbleton.
Oh,
good to see you.
Yeah.
Good to see you, Jeff. And then G. James Hollister. He looks and sounds familiar. Who's retiring tomorrow?
Cole Tinkersley.
Yeah. Good dude. I don't know him very well. I don't know him very well, but he was good people. You know how, like, and if it wasn't, I wouldn't say a word. I'd just be like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's always, like, that's one thing I freaking love about our community. It was just so small. You know, a lot of people don't understand, like, the CBs, we, like, know each other. We live with each other forever. And, like, we might not know firsthand of each other, but we know somebody that knows you no matter what it is. Yeah. After you've been in for 4 years. All right, so here you go. Question number one. Can I buy a multifamily dwelling for investment purposes?
So the answer is, so it's a yes and no.
Okay.
Right. So multifamily, I comment on that too. So you can't use in your VA loan strictly for investment. No, you can't. Right. But you can buy up to a fourplex, right? So four units, anything over four units becomes commercial. So four units and below, right?
So if you bought like a house or like one of those like four split level, yep. like,
or fourplex, yeah.
Thing, yeah.
A fourplex or a duplex.
Gotcha.
You can, but you have to live in one of them as your primary residence.
Really?
Correct.
That's cool. So I never knew that.
Your VA, the VA is pretty strict on this, right? It's meant for the veteran to have a primary residence. So right. It's not for investment opportunities. It will be, you know, eventually it is, you know, going to be investment. And it is, technically it is investment, but it has to be your primary residence.
There's I was actually looking at a house in Lindsay, Ohio, a small town outside of my hometown, and a real nice house, but also had a little house on the property, you know, so this is more my question than theirs, but, and they also had a little tiny house, like the guest house.
Yeah.
If I lived in the guest house, could I rent out the other house?
So it depends. You need to look at the title, how that is, if it's one address or two addresses, is it basically one property? You know what I mean? So that would be one property. If it's one property, absolutely.
And the house is on the same thing. Yeah. I would just be staying in the
ADU. So I don't know if it's an ADU. It's
what's ADU mean?
It's a God. I knew you were gonna ask that. I was like,
yeah, zinger.
Yeah. Auxiliary dwelling unit.
Okay.
So hopefully somebody corrects me. Call granny flats.
I'm sure five people will with five different wrong answers.
Yeah. Granny flats, you know, garages that get turned into little apartments, different guidelines, you know, like you don't have to have a full kitchen, you know, like you can have a sink, you know, running water. So different guidelines for like ADU.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So that would be possible if I did do that.
Correct. And that's then somebody, cool. Who's the real estate agent that comment, below? I forgot his name.
Oh, Scott McCool.
Scott McCool. So me and Scott. Yeah. I think me and Scott were, I wouldn't say going back and forth, but we're answering the same kind of question two different ways. So he was saying no, but right. Yes. Yes, you can, but there is guidelines. And he is right on what he said.
To clarify for those listening to the audio, all right, as a real estate, Scott McCool says, Jeff, as a real estate agent, I will say your answer is not accurate. The good news is you can look to buy a duplex, triplex, or fourplex using the VA home loan benefits. However, the property, blah, blah, blah. So basically the exact same thing you said, same but thing, differently yeah. worded. Okay, cool. My comment. Of course, the proper answer is tune in Wednesday.
Yeah.
All comments. Okay, good. If you have an active VA loan and you want to sell and purchase another home with a VA loan, what steps would I have to take?
Really nothing. So if you're really selling your house, use an VA loan and buying a new one, I would make sure your COE, certificate of eligibility, when you're getting the new loan, make sure your lender pulls that and make sure it's updated. And make sure the underwriter or whatever lender you're working with understands you're selling that house and have, you know, the contract saying that, or some kind of documentation that you sold that house or an escrow to sell that, and then you can buy your new house with the VA. I know it's right because I did it myself. So I upgraded, was in a VA loan in a small house in Ventura, and then bought a bigger house and did the same thing. Used my VA loan, sold that house, and then you continue to use my VA loan again.
Tell another.
So very easy to do. That's, yeah.
That was Connie, and Connie said, thank you.
Yeah. Painless. Totally painless.
202 with her. Good people. Yeah. Hey, man. I love when questions start like that. Hey, man. Every time I read hey, man,
yeah,
that's how I started. Hey, man. Hey, man, what about using the VA loan to buy fam/ranch land? A lot of vets looking to go homestead route, and not many people are keen on what the VA requirements are for a loan for a fam/ranch to be backed.
So back to why you have a VA loan is your primary residence. Okay. So when you say land ranch, I think land, I could be different, but that's what I'm thinking. And the answer, what I would say is no, but okay, don't take no for an answer, right? So you can do a one-time close, right? Use your VA loan to buy the land, build the house on that ranch would be you. Yes, you can do that with your VA loan.
So I'm interpreting it differently. Mm-hmm. I'm interpreting it because, like, you know, as a farmer,
yeah,
like, you know, when he says land/ranch, it's just like, you know, this, I have a house, I'm mm-hmm. going to be living here, but I'm using it for cattle.
Yeah. So absolutely. So you can buy, you know, if it's 40 acres, whatever that is, if you can qualify for a loan and then there's a primary residence on there. Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, cool. Buy. Does a service-connected disability rating help with VA home loan costs?
Yes. So when we talk about no money down, right? So there's it's called a funding fee, the VA funding fee. So the first time use is 2.3% of the loan amount. So, you know, $1 million loan is looking at about $23,000. That gets tacked on the loan, right? So that's the funding fee. Anything, if a veteran's at 10%, that funding fee is waived. So you have to be at 10%. Anything over, okay, everything's just 10%.
So anything over 10%,
the VA funding fee is waived. That's where your COE, your certificate of eligibility, is pulled, and we'll say that on there. That said, hey, funding fee is waived.
So
that's why the COE is so important.
For those that don't know, if you have fucked up ears, you automatically got 10% just for tinnitus.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that's the thing too. Just qualify for fucking tinnitus.
It is. Yeah.
And this is what frustrates me with a lot of veterans, and it is because they don't feel like they deserve the, you know, disability, or they're like, oh, I'm not disabled. It's like, motherfucker, how many times did you have to pay? Pardon my French. Fuck that. Yeah. How many times do you have to pay for an e-tool or something that you lost? Yeah. And it's just like, now it's time for them to pay for your boo-boos because, yeah, you know, they broke you, they pay you, you know? So, and this is the thing too, people don't take into consideration, is that obviously, yeah, the money's cool, but so many other things, like this home loan stuff, the 10% for this,
yeah,
right? That also, you're 100% correct.
Correct.
You said, yeah. So when you go down to you go down to the DMV or BMV or whatever it's called in the state, and you're free. You don't have to pay anymore. You know what I mean? As long as you have that, saying you're 100% disabled, permanent total, whatever, they're like, oh, you know, I don't think you need a permanent total, but I think it's 100%. You're good to go. Yeah. Your fees are waived, and people don't realize that. They shoot themselves in the foot by not going to get rated. So that's my rant for going to get rated.
What I tell people is, you know, do it for your family, right? And everything is, you know, I'm on the wrong side of 30. I'm not even 40 yet. Everything just gets worse. Nothing's going to get better.
Right.
Right. So your body doesn't magically heal. So if you have knee pain now, it's going to get worse. I promise. Like,
and also,
it's not going to get better.
Exactly. And also a 0% is a good thing,
yeah,
because 0% is acknowledging that you have a problem. So if you have a 0% rating for, you said knees, 0% on your knee, but you get reevaluated, that shit could go up, you know.
Correct.
And if you're at 100, don't reevaluate anything, because that opens up a whole can of worms and you could get downgraded. Good question here too, which can I buy a multifamily dwelling for investment purposes?
Yeah. Same thing. We same thing.
Yes, 4-unit, man. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. The proper answer is tune in Wednesday. Coming from an appraiser, Eric DeLuca, he asks, all right, coming from an appraiser, what impact, in parentheses, positive and negative, close parentheses, do you think it will have on the VA loans if they move to a hybrid basis or waive the need for an appraisal altogether? Legislation in the House wants to remove appraisers doing the actual inspections of the house and have someone else complete the inspection. Who may or may not be qualified, and who may or may not have forthcoming with issues that affect value? Anyway.
So I know the appraisal industry, mm-hmm. right, is they have very strict guidelines to be an appraisal. You know, it's like 400, 500 hours. Long story short, just like everything else, they're short appraisals right now. Okay. And appraisals were really hard to get, right? Especially during the refi boom about 2 years ago. There just wasn't enough appraisers to be doing appraisals. So they were basically, instead of having the appraisal drive out to, you know, if I'm stationed here and I'm an appraiser, yeah. and I have to go to Bakersfield, you know, that's 2 hours there, go there, take pictures, do the report, you know, come back, you know, that's a 6 hour day. Right. And that's one. Right. So that's one down. But there's 30 out there. Right. So how they're trying to do it. I know UWM, United Wholesale Mortgages, we're trying to subcontract out the baby stuff. Right. So basically having somebody like me, a home inspector, independent contractor, to go to the property, take pictures, right, document, and then give that to an official appraisal. Right. And then he can do the actual appraisal report. So I hope that answered that guy's question.
I hope so too, because I don't understand.
I kind of understood it a little bit, him, you know, but I know what they're trying to do with, you know, appraisal direct and making appraisals more painless.
Right.
I know with the VA, appraisals are very, very awesome, right? Because they have a higher chance of appraising at value, at contract value, and there's guidelines for the appraisal, so they have to get it back. Once you submit a VA appraisal, they have to do it in 10 days. So they have to get it back. So nice. You get the appraisal back relatively quickly in 10 business days. And then you can fight the appraisal. So the conventional loan or FHA, you really can't rebut it or fight it. It is what it is. So if it comes in below value, that's kind of where it's at. With the VA, you can fight it. It's called the Tidewater Act. So okay. You get hit with Tidewater. And so say you're on a contract for $700,000. You got hit with Tidewater, and the house, the appraisal values it at 680, right? So you're 20 grand short. So what we do as lenders, right, is I pull the comps in the area, right, and pull 3 to 5 houses and say, hey, why is this short, right? So this house sold at 725 with the same square footage. This house sold at 795. You know, these are pretty, you know, these are good comps. Like, where was the disconnect? And then they can come back and rebuttal again, but we can do that twice. Okay. So, especially with this industry, how changing. So if a house does close on the market a little, you know, which is good, right? Closes higher at 710, 720, we can use that comp to raise the value of your property that you're trying to buy. So it can come in at contract, and we can close the loan and you can move into your house.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Cool, man. Scott's watching. What's up, brother? And he says, well, I was more writer. and that's cool.
Is he the real estate agent?
Yeah, good dude. But,
yeah, we're saying the same thing in New York. 100%, same thing,
it's a little bit different. That's cool. Yeah. All right, so I'm gonna, like, my laptop is gonna die soon,
yeah.
And I'm gonna shut this thing in a second. Real quick, anybody got any questions before I shut this book? Oh, the cool thing, check this out. This laptop has been through some shit.
Yeah.
I went to, speaking of SkillBridge, my buddy Jason Johnson, BUC, retired.
Yeah.
Not sure if you know him, yeah. know him or not, but I was his guest speaker in Naples. Hmm. So I flew from here to there, but he had a layover in France. And I put this thing in the bin, you know, the x-ray bin, because you have to go through customs again while you're there.
Yeah.
And I was so tired, and I didn't even think nothing of it. I fucking left it, man. I left this thing in the bin there. And then I went to Naples, and I didn't even realize I forgot it, because I was going to be like, oh, don't worry about the TV, because I always watch everything right off my laptop, because we're trained to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, in the desert and anywhere else you go, you have like everything on your laptop anyway. And now you can stream shit. Anyways, and I opened up my bag and I didn't see my laptop. And then I was like, and it just dawned on me that I left it in the tray. So on my way back to the United States, I was going to stop and see if I could pick it up. But I was in such a hurry to get to clear customs to, you know, go from Naples to France, or from Italy to France to the United States. Didn't have time. I get back to the States, and then I went back and forth emailing the airport back and forth, and then like all this other shit. And then they sent me these three forms, and it frustrated me, because I get frustrated when I read like some of these forms.
Yeah.
So Jill, this chick that used to live with me, awesome people. I was like, can you help me?
Yeah.
So she filled all of the forms and everything, and I sent it back up. It costs almost $200. It's like 180 euro. And here we are.
Yep.
Got it back. And a lot of people, thank you, that are listening. If you're still listening, thank you. Because, dude, there's a lot of people that sent me some cash, because I was going to just buy a new laptop.
Yeah.
And I used that money for getting this back, and I'm going to use the rest of it for more gear, you know? So, all right, no more questions, no more concerns. I'm going to shut this thing down. And what I want to do now, all right, there's that. So, yeah, here it is. It's safe. It lives. Yay. All right. So you're not in a hurry, are you?
No.
All right, good. Any more things about what you do? Any more home loans? Any more advice? Stuff like that?
I would say buy real estate and wait. Don't wait to buy real estate. That's kind of my. And use your benefits, right? So use, you know, everything that you're entitled to. Your VA home loan, GI Bill, you know, medical, dental, like, you especially, you know, people that are in right now, like, go, like, why aren't you going to dental twice a year? Like, clean your teeth, all right? It's, you
know, yeah, if it's free, like, it's free, 100%.
Like, yeah, you know, just do it, just like little stuff like that, you know, take advantage of the next, you know what I mean? Fleeing the family, you know, free tickets, you know,
yeah,
they just did a premiere at Top Gun, you know, like,
oh, that's cool,
you know,
man. On
base, you know, just all the little stuff that, like, we kind of take for granted sometimes. That, you know, once you get out, you kind of appreciate it more, I guess. So
totally.
So,
I guess this will conclude everything about home loans and all that other fun stuff. Is there anything else you want to say?
No, just get pre-approved.
Okay, and then one more time. What's your phone number?
805-512-0897.
So if you're looking for a home or anything like that, make sure to hit up Jeff. And now what we're going to do is we're going to flip over and we're going to talk about your personal life and your Navy career. How's that sound to you?
That sounds great.
Cool. That's what we said in recruiting all the time. How does that sound to you? Check for acceptance. All right. So keep your chin up. Never let the bastards get you down. Fuck the bozos. Never, ever forget. Obi loves you. See you on the next pod. Bye.